Thank you, Wiley. With that, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, y'all, so here we come to our fourth and final classic Christmas story before Christmas comes on Saturday morning, before many of us are probably going to be ready for it. But today's story is the classic from Dr. Seuss, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, if you don't know the story, is about a town of people in Whoville who love everything about Christmas. But up above the town, up in the caves of Mount Crumpet, lives a large, furry green creature called the Grinch. Now, we did this a couple weeks ago where we learned when we say the name of the bad guy, we say boo. So now I say, but up on Mount Crumpet lives a large, furry green creature called the Grinch. Boo. Now, the Grinch, unlike the people of Whoville, despises everything about Christmas and decides to ruin the holiday for the people of Whoville by sneaking into their houses on Christmas Eve, stealing their presents, their trees, their stockings, their decorations, and even their Christmas feasts. He thinks that he has won by stealing the Christmas spirit from them. Now, we must wonder why at this moment. Why in the world would the Grinch do this? Who in the world would ever want to steal Christmas from people? But the story tells us it's because the Grinch's heart is two sizes too small. Have you ever been around a person who seems like their heart is two sizes too small? That kind of person that just completely seems to lack joy and seems to want to spread it to everyone around them. I think in so many ways they're actually worse than Ebenezer Scrooge. Boo. Thank you for playing along. Because Ebenezer Scrooge, he seeks to be left alone. He seeks to be left with his money and his possessions and this grumpiness that he lives in. And yes, he would invite anybody to live in it with him, but he's not out trying to spread his grumpiness, grouchiness with everybody. But the Grinch is actively trying to pull people into this place that is anti-Christmas, anti-joy, and anti-love. If they become miserable, everyone else should be miserable too, right? Now, we have Grinches in this world, but we also have plenty of Grinches throughout the biblical history. Those who are not following God, and especially those who love their positions of power, literally or figuratively, standing above others, and their power seems to slowly shrink their hearts and suck all of the care for other people out of them. If you think for a moment, can you think of an example? I don't know if you're like me, but at Christmas time, the two sizes too small heart that I think of is King Herod. Now, King Herod, to me, is the original Grinch who was trying to steal Christmas. After Jesus was born, Magi from the East, as we read in the book of Matthew, come traveling following a star, hearing the news that the King of the Jews has been born in Bethlehem. And along the way, I don't know why, but they stop at King Herod's door to share the news and to see if he knows where this baby is. Well, when Herod hears this news, he becomes disturbed and afraid of what this new king might mean for his place on the throne over Israel. He devises a sneaky plan, much like the Grinch, to have the Magi find the baby, report his location to him, and to be able to ensure that this new king does not pose a threat to his position or power. Those three P's, position, power, and possessions, all have the ability to change us and to change our hearts. For once we have each of these three P's, not to be confused with the four P's that are in our church. If you don't know, that's the Manthe family, P4, right? Hi, P4, good to have you here this morning. But these three P's, if we are not careful, we can find that we do all we can to keep them or to gain more of them. All three of these can seek to ruin Christmas if they overshadow the true message and meaning of the Christmas season. Most often in Christmas, possessions are the ones that catch us and trip us the most. They are the greatest threat to the Christmas spirit. If we are not careful, we can put the highest emphasis on what is under the tree, whether it is what we are giving or what we are receiving. Pop quiz, did you know that anywhere from a third to half of Americans take on debt at Christmas to buy presents? An average of almost $1,500 of debt. Think about this. We're taking on a financial debt to celebrate that we have a Savior born to us to take us out of spiritual debt. Something does not seem right about this picture. Now, our text this morning, if we go back to it, speaks to our debt by taking us into the ministry of John the Baptist. John was not seeking power, position, and definitely not possessions, if you hear about his outfit and what his diet was. But instead, he was seeking repentance and baptism for all the people he could get the message to. He was offering people a chance to search their hearts for that which was shrinking it, to seek forgiveness from God, and to be washed clean of that which they needed to let go of. This was all in preparation for Jesus' ministry and the salvation he would offer through his life and through his death. Now, I regret to say at this point in the sermon that Herod never received his wake-up call and failed to change his heart for the better, but the good news is that the Grinch does have a happy ending. When the Grinch wakes up on Christmas morning, he expects misery and sadness to be coming from Whoville without all of their presents and stockings and decorations and everything else. But the Grinch was proven wrong. For the people of Whoville had no less joy and no less singing on Christmas morning without all the stuff. The spirit of Christmas was still there. To see such a joyous sight and to realize the true meaning of Christmas, we hear that the Grinch changes his mind about Christmas and in turn his heart grows three sizes bigger. Naturally, the Grinch returns all the presents and food and decorations, and a great celebration is had in Whoville, a happy ending once again. Now, God gave me a little reminder about the perspective of Christmas and what we receive. For this weekend, I helped host a gift exchange with elementary and middle school kids. They were so excited that they were going to receive gifts. Now, I'd picked up all of these gifts from my favorite store, I have to tell you. And my favorite store, of course, is Dollar Tree, which is now the Dollar and a Quarter Tree, right? Yes, Dollar and a Quarter Tree. But I'd picked them all up, and we were having this gift exchange white elephant style. I don't know if you know white elephant style, but all the gifts are in the middle, and whoever has number one gets to go first. And when your number is called, you can either pick to open one of the presents that is still in the middle, or you can steal a present that's already been opened. Once a present is stolen twice, it's locked and can't be stolen anymore. Now the kids began, and the first one opened it up, and I don't know what they expected to be inside these brown paper bags that all these presents were wrapped in, but you could tell right away from the first few that there was a bit of disappointment that it was dollar and a quarter tree items instead of fancy things. I don't know if they expected video games or what, but obviously what was inside was not what they expected. And so child after child kept picking up the brown bag, I think hoping that it would be more treasure than what those before them had found. And the mood was not as festive until one of the counselors of this group got their number called. And what did they do? But they looked around at what everything was that had been opened and saw this pair of pink panda socks. And their eyes lit up, and with great joy stole those socks right out of that boy camper's hands. Number one, the boy camper was a little excited to lose those pink panda socks. But all of a sudden, with that steal, what happened? But value had been placed in these dollar and a quarter tree items. And then the fun began. No longer was it quickly going to the bag and having disappointment, but all of a sudden what seemed invaluable was treasures that were stolen and locked, and the spirit of the room turned to joy. What happened? The presents didn't get any fancier or any more expensive or any more valuable. They were still dollar checker sets and decks of cards and Christmas cups and stuffed animals. But all of a sudden, there was value within them because of how somebody else looked at them. You see, this is Christmas. What happened? But God looked at us and saw the value in us. Not the brokenness, not the sins, not the mistakes, not the flaws, but God saw the treasure inside of us and said, I'm sending my son to them because I love them more than they could ever know. So where's our perspective this Christmas season? Where are we putting our value? Where are we putting our treasure? Is it wrapped under the tree? Is it hanging by our fireplace? Is it ready to go on the table? Or is it in our hearts, something that cannot break or be stolen, but is the true gift of God this Christmas season? My friends, will you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for the Christmas season. Not because of presents or stockings or feasts or gingerbread houses or what we can buy in a store, but because of what we receive in our hearts. May this Christmas be a Christmas where the joy that comes from the way that we experience you through the birth of Christ, may it grow our hearts three sizes bigger, to where the joy and love that comes from us is infectious to those around, to where they can see value in that which does not rot, that which does not decay, that which cannot be stolen, but that which comes from you, your unconditional love and grace for us that came wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in a manger for us. May we find that spirit all this week through as we await the birth that comes shortly to us. For this we pray in your name. Amen.